2 Kings chapter 6, we read here that verse 4, they came to Jordan. That's these sons of the prophets with their father Elisha. They came to Jordan and they cut down wood. And as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." And the man of God said, "Where fell it?" And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. The axe head lost and recovered. The axe head lost and recovered. The axe head that fell into the water causes us to think of the gospel of salvation this morning. The word salvation is in the portion of scripture that we read. Perhaps you ask, where? It is in the name of the prophet Elisha, or Elisha as we say, "My God, God, salvation." God is salvation. So all that we need to know is in that name. And the Hebrews reading their text will not certainly have their mind drawn to the thought that God is salvation. And all we need to know is in that name. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is through the Lord and in the Lord and of the Lord and by the Lord. That's all we need to know. Neither is there salvation in any other. And so the prophet's name tells us that. And this incident at the River Jordan is a picture of salvation. And Elisha is key in that picture because he is the rescuer of this lost axe. He is the deliverer of it. He is the one who rescued the whole situation. He is the one who recovered the axe head that was lost. Elisha is the prophet of God with the double portion of the fullness of the Spirit upon him. He is the firstborn with the double portion, and all the sons of the prophets are around him, but he's the firstborn because he's the one who has the double portion, you see. He's a picture of Christ, the God who is salvation. He is the true firstborn and the firstborn among many sons. And so he's a picture of Christ. And as we think about this axe head this morning, our first focus is on the axe head on the shaft. You see, it is an axe head. It's an axe head. It doesn't stand on its own. It is made to be joined to a shaft. It is made to be the head of a shaft. The whole tool is created and designed by its creator, a shaft, and at the head, the axe head. And the axe head fell into the water. It was not made of stone, but of iron. Stone is plentiful, but iron is rare in Israel. Iron is precious. People do not possess much iron. Especially so weighty an amount that makes a good axe head. It's so rare, it's so precious. And in fact, these poor prophets
cannot afford them. They have to borrow them. They're valuable. They're precious. And thus, when it's lost, the poor prophet gets all distressed because it belonged to someone else. It's precious. The axe head is rare and valuable, and it's the important part, you see. The shaft is made for the axe head to go on the end. Both are needed for the head, the axe head, to work, but the axe is at the head. It is the most valuable part of all in the shaft. It causes us to think of the creation. It causes us to think of the Creator and His creation, because God made a shaft. And God made an axe head to go at the top of the shaft. At the end, at the very end of the shaft, God made an axe head. And it's made to be put at the head. Because in the beginning, God created the earth. And God said, let there be light upon the earth. And there was light. And God made the earth to bring forth grass and the herb yielding seed and the fruit tree, yes, even these trees yielding fruit after their kind. He made those things on the earth. And then he made the waters. And he said to the waters, let them bring forth abundantly all fishes after their kind. And all the creatures to live in the sea. And then on the earth he brought forth every living creature after his kind. The cattle and the creeping things and the beasts. And last of all, he made an axe head. An axe head to be at the head. Let us make man, that he might have dominion over all of the shaft, over the beasts, over all the creatures, over every tree. Let us make man. So he made man, and he said to man, you have dominion. You have dominion over all creation, over all the shaft. And the shaft and the axe head were together in the arm of the Creator. And there was perfect harmony. And it was blessed. And man, you see, is made to have dominion, to have power, to build and to go into the forests, to construct, to work in God's creation and build his temple in the creation under his guidance, as this whole creation is in the arm of God with the axe head at the head. The head to touch every tree. God said, I've given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree. And the head is to touch every tree except one tree. To work in the environment, to work in the forests of the earth, that's Adam. Adam, man is valuable, man is precious, man is at the head of creation. Dear to God, the shaft and the creation seem to be made for man to be put at the end. Because last of all, God made man. He made the axe head. And so our first focus is on the axe head. On the shaft, and joined to the shaft, and in harmony with the swing of the Creator in the forest. The axe head is under authority. It cannot do what it likes. The head at the shaft end is under power, under authority. It has no power of its own. No.
It has only the power of the arm that swings it and that manipulates it, and that's the Creator. The power is in the one yielding the shaft. The arm of the Creator is to wield the shaft. The axe head is to yield and follow. And the shaft and head are together to obey their Creator. Man, Adam, is to follow the strokes of God. Adam is to till the garden in harmony with God and walking with God. Oh, how valuable and precious man is to God. How useful man was meant to be in the hand of God. What weight and glory and dignity did God place on man? What precious metal, valuable and weighty, the weight of glory that he did give to our father Adam. What a place he had as the very head, as the very axe head. That's why we read Psalm 8. Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. That's Adam, the axe head. Oh, what a wonderful walk with God the human race would have had. What a wonderful forest we would have labored in. But something happened. There was an incident in the midst of every tree. There was an incident in the forest. And that brings us to our second focus. The axe head fell. It fell from the shaft. It slipped off near the tree. The head fell away. It was an awful fall. Adam fell. Yes, Adam fell. Man fell. At the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he fell. He tried to fall a beam from that tree. He tried to fall a beam from that tree, but he slipped away. He slipped away and he fell. He wasn't long made. He was a new axe head. It was a new shaft. He wasn't his own. He was borrowed. He didn't belong to himself. He belonged to the Creator. He wasn't created to fall. He wasn't created to drop into the water. He wasn't created to fall away from the shaft. He was created to be in harmony with the shaft, to be joined to it. He was created to be head, to be the head. But he fell. Adam fell. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. This axe head is you and me. We fell in Adam. And we are perishing in Adam. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. All of us, all gone out of the way. All have slipped off the shaft. And there's a separation now. Man has separated from God. That's a fact. There's a great gulf now. No more harmony now between God and man. Man has fled from God. He slipped away and he's fled from God. Adam fell the fruit of the tree and he slipped away. He fled from God. He went and hid. God and man now are apart. God and man are separate. And this is the only explanation of it. The Bible's explanation of it is he fell away. Our first parents being left to the freedom of their own will fell from the estate wherein they were created by sinning against God. God had made man upright, but they sought out many inventions. They went away, they slipped away, they fled from God, and they're seeking out so many, many things. You can't do what you like, you know. You're borrowed. You belong to God. He gave you your life. He will take away again your life. You belong to Him. He can do with you what He pleases. You cannot slip away and get away with it. You cannot fly from God. You cannot get away from His authority and under His sway and under His swing and think that you can get away with it. You can't. You can fall. You can flee. You can rebel. You can live for yourself. You can be stubborn. You can misuse your time and your life. But God will call us all to Himself to answer, to give an account. You're just on borrowed time. It's not your own. You're just on borrowed breath. It's not your own. It's all borrowed. And if they give an account, we must all stand before the judgment seat of God. You won't get away. He will draw you. He will draw you out from your place and you'll give account. There's no hiding place, no getting away from God. Ultimately, you'll come out if it's to the judgment seat of God. No hiding place. You must stand before God to give an account. It's all borrowed. It fell into the water, it says. The axe head fell into the water. Yes, it was heavy, you see. It dropped into the deep. The fall did not lift man. As the devil had said, oh, fell the fruit of the tree. Go, Adam, with all your pointedness to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and fell the fruit. And you'll be like God. You'll be lifted up. No, the devil's a liar. It fell. It fell down. It fell into the water. It fell away from God. The fall did not lift man as the devil had said. Stubbornness and disharmony does not lift a man. No. Stubbornness and resistant to the will of God and to the arm of God and to the authority of God's word does not lift a man. It brings a man down. It ruins a man. It destroys a man. And it destroys a church too. It brings it down. It brings it down. It makes us lower. Sin brings us down. Sin brings us lower. Sin brings us into deeper waters, into darker waters. It's a downward plunge. It brings us down to the bottom, ultimately down to the bottom, down to the mire, down to the dirt, down even below the water, into the mud. That's where sin brings us. It brings us deeper and deeper. And sin is bringing you deeper and deeper. And soon you'll perish beyond all remedy and all hope. Deeper and deeper into the murky waters. That's where sin's bringing you. That's where all your disharmony with God is bringing you. Sin causes us to become lost. What did the poor man say? Alas, alas, Master, alas, it's lost. It's lost, you see. Alas, it cannot be recovered, Master. It's lost. And cannot swim, Master. Neither can it. It wasn't created to swim. It wasn't created to be lost. It wasn't created to be swimming in the dark, murky waters of sin. It was created to be at the end of the shaft. That's what it was created for. But it's lost now. And it can't swim. Because it wasn't created to swim in these murky waters. It's lost. And sinner, you're lost. And you're perishing. You may have a cloak of religion. You may have respectability. But you're lost. You're lost, you see. And you should be concerned about it. Alas, alas, Master. Sin drowns. It drowns in perdition. Water and iron do not get on well. Iron does not last long. It doesn't last long in the murky depths. It's in danger of perishing beyond recovery. You see, there is rust, you see. And long enough down there, it perishes forever and ever. It must be recovered soon, very soon, because the rust will soon set in and it will perish beyond recovery. Sin and the man do not get on well together. Sin will cause you to perish forever and ever. You'll not be worth bringing up out of the depths anymore. And God will leave you in the blackness of darkness forever and ever and ever to perish in the rust of sin, which forever and ever will eat away at your everlasting soul, what the Bible calls a worm, the corroding, corrupting worm that never dies. Do you not care? Do you think a little prayer is going to just, something you do will be all that is sufficient for you to be the iron that swims? It will soon be destroyed beyond remedy. It soon will be the blackness of darkness forever. Soon not worth recovering. Soon beyond recovering. As Jesus said, shall perish. That's you, sinner. Out of harmony with God. And it's seen by your life, you're out of harmony with God. You may pretend you're swimming, but you are perishing in darkness, in self-will, in resistance to God and His word, in stubbornness and stiff-neckedness, in living in the mire and living out of harmony with God. You are perishing and you cannot save yourself. Utterly helpless. No power to break free. No power to defy gravity against your weight of sin. You can't change. You're addicted to sin. Addicted to this disharmony. Addicted to this mire. You are not happy. But you cannot change. No peace. In the troubled sea where daily mire and dirt are cast up around you. You are not walking with God because you're down here. Iron can't swim. And that brings us to our third focus. There was
a deliverer for the axe head. There was a deliverer for the axe head. Alas, Master, there's a master in Israel. That one who Nicodemus came to at night. Master, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, because no man can do the miracles that thou doest. There's a master in Israel. Elisha, God, salvation. There's a master, a true firstborn, one with a double portion of the Spirit, the firstborn of many sons. He never fell into these waters. He crossed them. He traversed them. You remember whenever Elisha come to the Jordan, what happened whenever Elisha come to the Jordan? The waters parted. He never fell into them. He traversed them. He's above the waters. Greater than the waters. He never went down into them. Elisha walked through these waters twice, but never sunk down. He overcame these waters. Jesus didn't fall. Jesus didn't sink down into the dark waters of sin under the weight of his own sins. You remember how the devil tried to drown him? He was asleep in the hinder part of the ship, and the boat was full of water, but you know, it didn't go down, because Jesus doesn't sink into the waters under the weight of sin. His own sin, for he has none. No. Do you remember that night on the Sea of Galilee? How he walked on the waters. He is above the waters. He is the master in Israel. The waters part for him, or the waters become ice for him, and he walks over them. He doesn't, and he never did, though the devil tried to do it. He never falls into the deep. He's the axe head that never fell off. The master says, where fell it? Where did it fall? Show me the place where it fell. He wants to know the place where it fell. The master wants to recover it. Brethren and sisters, the mission of Christ makes no sense without a fall. Some churches have excluded the fall from their teaching. Some even deny Genesis chapter 3. Oh, that we should fall in our father Adam. No, that's a vile doctrine. Oh, that's not right. God wouldn't deal with us like that. Let me tell you, sinner, you fell. And you fell a long time ago. And you fell in Adam, the axe head. And you're born down there in those murky deep waters. That's where you're born. And the master wants to know where it fell. Let me tell you where you fell. You fell in Adam. That's where you fell. You fell in Adam. Where fell it? Where fell it? And so the master must come to the place where we fell. You fell in Adam. And let me tell you this. You can only be recovered in Christ. In Christ. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive again. In Christ, you need a deliverer. You need a rescuer. You need a savior. The story tells of a mighty redemption. There's a miracle, you see. There's something wonderful. There's a recovery. The iron did swim. The iron did swim. It swam. There is a recovery. There's a miracle. There's a power. There's a redemption.
There's a change. Nature is defined. Grace works now. Something against nature. Something contrary to nature. Something above and beyond nature. Iron doesn't swim. No, it doesn't. But through grace, iron can swim. You see, this deliverer said, "Behold, I will do a new thing." And whenever God is speaking about that, he's speaking about redemption. That's a new thing. And this is a picture of that new thing. And that's what God does. He does a new thing in the sinner. The iron did swim. Something contrary to nature. It swam. Whenever I was in the Isle of Lewis recently, I heard an illustration of one of the brethren there, a dear old man of God who preached a mighty sermon. And he was using an illustration of a man, I don't remember the man's name, I think it was a man maybe in his church in the younger days, he'd seen a revival and awakening, so many people converted. I'll call him John Morrison, just for the sake of it. He told the story of John Morrison. In the Isle of Lewis, the young men sometimes would have their drinking dens, and they would get their keg of beer and spend the whole night gathered around it, and they'd bring their own glasses and they'd drink out of their keg of beer. But John Morrison was under conviction of sin, and his friends recognized it, because in the Isle of Lewis, those who are native to the land, they knew all about conviction of sin. And in those days particularly, they could recognize, even the unconverted could recognize, when one of their colleagues, God was working in him. And God was working in this young man. And his friends knew it, and they told him to go home. They said, "You'd be better off going to church, John, than staying on here." And he did go home, and you know something? He never came back, because he was converted. He floated. He swam away from it all. And he never came back. Some of his friends said he'd last a month, he'd left his glass behind. He'll come back for it. He'll soon be back for it. He'll last a month. But he never came back. That's what Christ's power does. The iron that swim. Man's converts don't swim. They don't swim. They can't swim. They go back. They're still in the murky waters, still in these deeps, still in this mire of sin. But when Jesus Christ converts you, you'll swim. And so they got his glass one day, and they nailed it to the wall, and they said, "In memory of John Morrison." He's dead to them, you see. He's not coming back. The place that knew him knows him no more. He did swim, and he never to go back to that place again. He's a convert of Elisha, the God who is salvation. You see it. Now, how did this happen? The iron did swim. You'll bear with me as we come to the end. How did this happen? How did the iron swim? There was a branch, you see. Because it says the man of God, he cut down a stick. There's a branch. Thank God for the branch. The branch that Jehovah made strong for himself. There's a branch. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. He's coming from Jesse. He's coming from David. A branch provided by God. A branch made by God. Whenever the old stump is dead, whenever the old olive tree has ceased, there's no more fruit on it. But suddenly out of its roots, that's the way olive trees work, you see. You can't kill an olive tree. It may look dead, but there's always something come out of its roots. And one day, out of this root of Jesse, there came a branch. Jesus is the branch. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he'll execute judgment and righteousness. And Jesus Christ is that branch. I will bring forth my servant, the branch, the Lord says. Behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. It's this branch that has come up, this branch that is available. There's a branch, you see. And he cut it down. The branch was cut down. Well, it had to be cut down, the branch. The branch had to be cut down and it had to be cast in. It had to be cut down and he cast it in. The air's not going to swim unless there's a branch that's cut down and cast in. And so he cut it down and he cast it. There had to be a tree, you see. There had to be a cross. The branch had to be chopped. The one who came to seek and to save sinners, that was what were lost, had to be cut down, and he had to be cast into. He didn't fall into the waters. Oh no, our Jesus didn't fall into. He was cast into them. He was cast into them by the hand of his Father. He was cast into the waters, the deep mire of our sin. That's where Jesus, for us to swim, for us to be rescued, our blessed Lord Jesus had to be cast in. He had to be cast into the murky deeps. He had to come down to us. He had to go so low. Jesus was cast in for you. He died for the ungodly. Do you not care? Is it nothing to you, all you that pass by? This Jesus, will you not love him? Will you not follow him? Will you not obey him? Will you not stop your dancings? Will you not get the mischief out of your heart for this Jesus who was cast into the deep for you? He was cut off. He cut down a branch. He was cut off out of the land of the living to raise us up. To raise us up. He was taken from the prison and from the judgment. Who shall declare his generation? And he was cut off. Cut off out of the land of the living. Why? For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. He'd be cut off. But not for himself. For us. Cut off. For you, the iron axe head down there rusting and perishing in your sins. Cut off for you. He's cut off. Cut down. Wounded. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. O sword of the Lord, that has received a command to come out of the scabbard of Jehovah and go to the shepherd and cut him down. He cut down a branch. Oh, precious Jesus. Precious Jesus. That you should be cut down for us. Oh, let us be willing to be cut down for you. The miracle pictures a resurrection. You need to see the miracle. Brethren and sisters, you need to be drawn into the story and see the miracle. You have to always get into the narrative and you have to ask and see what is. You have to see it. You have to see it before you can understand it. You have to see what the Holy Spirit is putting before you. And he casts down this branch into the waters. Thither, where fell it? And the son of the prophet, it fell over there. And he threw the branch into that place. And you know something? The branch went down. It went down. The stick is cast into the place where the iron fell. And what happens? The branch goes down. And it goes down deeper. And it disappears briefly. It disappears briefly. You see, that's what happened. You throw a big branch into the water and it disappears. It goes down for a few moments, few seconds, and then it pops up again. He goes down, but he comes up again. The weight of the casting
and the weight of our sin causes him to go down. But he comes up again, because you see, he's the branch, and the branch must float. The branch is greater than sin. The branch is one who keeps the law of God. The branch is the one in harmony with the creation. The branch is the one who is obedient, and when he goes down, he comes up again. It's not possible. It's not possible that he can be held of death. He comes up again. He floats. Because the branch floats, you see. It goes down, but it doesn't stay, because it's going down as the deliverer. It's going down as the rescuer. It's not possible to stay down there. He comes up again, because you see, he's the branch. He's the righteous servant of Jehovah, who was delivered for our offenses, but was raised again for our justification. That's what the Bible says. He doesn't come up alone either. The iron is raised after him. In Adam, all die and fall, but in Christ, all are raised and made alive again. It's through Christ. It's in the branch. For by one man's offense, death reigned by one. But through Jesus Christ, there's life by one. As by one man sin entered into the world, so through one man there is righteousness unto justification. So the iron is drawn up. The iron is drawn up by the branch in the miracle of grace. And Jesus said, the branch said, I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men after me. I'll go down. I'll go down into the depths, but I'll be lifted up. And when I'm lifted up, I'll draw all men. I'll draw them after me. I'll make the iron swim. I'll get the iron out of the murky deep waters. That's what I do. That's what Jesus does. That's true conversion. That's the mighty power of the Lord. When he comes into a man's life, he raises him up to newness of life. That's what we need to see. We need to see the power of the Holy Ghost. We need to see the power of the branch. This is the only answer. To get lifted up by one, to be drawn up after him. There's no other way. Men and women, you need to be raised from your perishing condition by Jesus Christ. And he is the only deliverer and redeemer who can do it. You have to be recovered. And you can be. You can be recovered. Praise the Lord, you can be recovered. There's a redeemer. Perhaps you say, there's no hope for me. I'm perishing, it's too late. I have the rust of so many years and sin already eating up into my heart. My conscience is hardened. It's falling apart. I'm being consumed in mine iniquity. I'm being consumed away as in my sin. I'm just set in my ways, and there's no hope now. There is one that you can look to. Jesus. You can look to Jesus. Look to the crucified one. Believe in Christ. He will raise you up. He died to raise us up. And believers in him will be raised up to newness of life. A new thing. To swim contrary to nature. You'll notice it doesn't say the iron floated. The iron swam. It's flopping. It's sustaining its weight. It's kicking its legs. A dead corpse can ascend and float, but it's dead still. Only grace makes iron swim. Are you a swimmer? Swimming after Jesus. Swimming to see the one who brought you out of the murky depths. Are you a swimmer in grace? Have you left it all behind you? And you're swimming now for the glory of God. And you're just waiting. You're swimming and you're just waiting. You're just waiting for this hand to come along and to pick you up and to rejoin you to the shaft. In the new heavens and the new earth, in the last day, when he'll come again and he'll pick us up once and for all and for good out of the waters which we're swimming in. But he'll pick us up out of them and he'll join us in the new heavens and the new earth, back again to the shaft. And we will be in sweet, perpetual, unending harmony with our God and the arm of Jehovah. We'll be the shaft in his hand. And in the new heavens and in the new earth, brethren and sisters, I tell you this, you'll never slip off again. You'll not fall again, because our Redeemer does it right. His is the glory. Jesus, you need him. You need him.